Yeah, 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 yeah. That is three for me. I really have not been giving myself enough credit lately. What a legend. Three straight days in the studio. I jest. What's cracking? I did have 2 weeks off, but I am back in the studio. My name is Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and we are in our SoCal-based studios the way we have been the entire year. Nice to have you here. All right, so the show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got a very good broadcast experience for you today. Here's why I say that. Open phones in hour number one, 1-800-636-8686. In hour number two, Portland Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts. In hour number three, the host of the NFL Red Zone on NFL Network, Scott Hansen, is back. Also in hour number three, Matt Kenseth, 03 NASCAR Cup Series champ and the driver of the 42 car. That's coming up in the third hour. It's Wednesday. I'm back from break, so I've got a podcast. Episode number 137. That's a damn good number, isn't it? 137. We're proud of that. I'm going to talk to somebody that I've been looking forward to talking to, whom I have not spoken with yet, Damon West. Great story. So look for that after the program. It is a Wednesday, so I'm looking for somebody to step up with an ATP for me. Good topics, good show, open phones in hour number one.
Good show, dude.
Thank you. If you've been waiting to kind of roll back in here, go ahead and do so. Midweek's best time. Let me start with the NBA. But not so much with a bubble, although I've got a great take on bubble life a little bit later on. Not even with the restart, but instead with, of all things, the Minnesota T-Wolves. Bless you, Hawk. A topic that we normally... He sneezed. A topic we normally do not hit on this program. In fact, traditionally, I've almost never talked about the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, they've had a largely interesting history. Let me start right there. And by interesting... What I really am saying is a largely whack history, a largely unsuccessful history. They've lost a lot for a long time to the point that I really have never talked about them much on this show at all, ever. Except today, not only am I talking about them, I am leading the show with them. I'm talking T-Wolves basketball right now. Now, I did talk about it back in April. And I am bringing it back again in July. Why is that? Because team owner Glenn Taylor announced yesterday that he is exploring the possibility of selling that team. And I'm guessing T-Wolves fans will not be all that unhappy to see him go. Now, even that in and of itself is not a reason for me to lead the show with that, even in the midst of a global pandemic. After all, they're still just the T-Wolves. However... Not only is he contemplating selling that team, you will be even more fired up if you're a T-Wolf fan when you hear who the hell is part of the group, one of the groups, trying to buy that team. Now, let me give you a hint. Play along. Here's my first hint of who that person is.
Position? He wasn't...
There's your hint. You probably have your answer. You know it. Freaking Kevin Garnett.
Which doesn't put...
He posted on Instagram, quote... I'm part of one of the groups trying, with the fingers crossed emoji, a 100 emoji, and three praying hands. And he chased that with, quote, Lord, please let my group get this. Followed by the fire emoji. Man, that would be fire too. That'd be awesome. Having Kevin Garnett involved in the association is a good thing. Kevin Garnett being a key member of an ownership group would be an even better thing. He himself tweeted, quote, my passion for the Minnesota Timberwolves to be a championship team is well known, but I have a deeper affection for the city of Minneapolis. I once again want to see Minneapolis as the diverse and loving community that I know it is. He then chased that with another tweet. Now, here's where things get really curious. Check out this tweet. Quote, no two people love the city more than myself and Glenn Taylor. And I look forward to trying to work with him to achieve my dream. End tweet. Wait, what? That's kind of a different tune, right? I don't remember there being a hell of a lot of love between KG and GT even a few months back. In fact, listening to KG, it sounded like he straight hated GT. only a couple of months back. Why don't we go back for a minute? This is what he told The Athletic after he was voted into the Hall of Fame. Garnett said, quote, "My days in Minnesota were great days, bro. It was a huge part of my progression. Flip Saunders and Kevin McHale were huge parts of my progression as a player. I had to put the work in and put it all together, but having those influences around me, having Kevin McHale as a great teacher all those years and pushing me and giving me the lay of the land, and me having a crazy ass appetite and imagine of what I want to be in the league," end quote. That is such a great quote, because he did have a crazy ass appetite and an imagination of what he wanted to become and a pair of coaches who helped him get there. However, then came the moment in 2015. When Flip Saunders brought Kevin Garnett back to Minneapolis. And at that time, according to reports, there had been a conversation that KG wanted to join the ownership group and potentially succeed Glenn Taylor or become a key decision maker in the franchise. You remember that, right? You might also remember Taylor then brought in Tom Thibodeau. And then the conversation about KG's involvement changed. And then things got bad. Really bad. How bad? Bad enough that the team still has not retired KG's jersey because he won't let them. It's amazing. And then Garnett told The Athletic back in April, which brings me back to my point, quote, "Glenn knows where I'm at. I'm not entertaining it. First of all, it's not genuine. Two, he's getting pressure from a lot of fans and I guess the community there. Glenn and I had an understanding before Flip died. And when Flip died, that understanding went with Flip. For that, I won't forgive Glenn. I won't forgive him for that. I thought he was a straight up person, a straight up businessman. And when Flip died, everything went with him." End quote. Some jungle love for Flip Saunders. Loved him, man. Great coach. Great dude. Back to KG. Quote, "I won't forgive Glenn." Seems a hell of a long way from yesterday's tweet that, quote, "No two people love the city more than myself and Glenn Taylor. And I look forward to trying to work with him to achieve my dream." I got to go back to April, though, because it got even better. Garnett said this in April. Quote, "At this point, I don't want any dealings with Glenn Taylor or Taylor Core. Or anything that has to do with him. I love my Timberwolves. I'll always love my guys. I'll always love the people who bleep with me there." And then he dropped what is arguably the quote of the year, if not any year. Garnett said this about the guy that he allegedly loves the city with now. Quote, "I don't do business with snakes. I don't do business with snake ma bleepas. I try not to do business with openly snakes. Or people who are snake-like." End of beautiful quote. So just to recap, here is a list of entities that KG will not do business with. Snakes. Snake mableepas. Openly snakes. And people who are snake-like. I mean, I think that just about covers it. Hey, maybe it's just me. But I get the sense that back in April, not only was Kevin Garnett not really cool with Glenn Taylor, but that Kevin Garnett hated Glenn Taylor and always would. But now we're to believe there's a chance to buy the team from that snake mableepa. Because of that, he's changing his tune. Now, maybe he's saying now that Taylor is only snake-like and not openly snake or a snake mableepa. Either way, I get it. I see the guy working. I'm not going to bash KG for tweeting positively about GT right now. It's the smart play. If you want to buy something from somebody, especially an NBA franchise, it probably helps to butter them up a little bit and stop calling them a snake mableepa. Or an open snake. Or snake-like. I mean, those things probably are not going to help his cause. Sometimes you need to do business with a snake. Or a snake mableepa, or an open snake, or somebody who is snake-like in order to achieve a goal. I mean, haven't you ever bought something from somebody you don't like? Like, my thing is, I would much rather, if I'm going to spend money, and it's a fair amount of money, I almost always want to buy it from somebody I like, right? That stands to reason. But you don't always have that choice. And like, how dumb would it be for KG if he wanted to buy that team, but he kept hammering away at that snake mableepa? That would ruin any chance he has of achieving his dream goal. And he does have a crazy ass appetite for achieving that goal. KG wants to be involved in buying the T-Wolves. I want KG to be involved in buying the T-Wolves. I don't know if it would guarantee success, but I'll say this. KG being involved in buying the T-Wolves would be the best thing to happen to them since KG was being drafted by the T-Wolves. It's his dream. It's my dream. And I love that he's willing to do business with snakes, snake mud bleepers, openly snakes, and people who are snake-like in order to achieve that dream. What I'm saying is this. You got to be flexible in life. You can have your convictions. You can have your rules. But sometimes, in certain moments, you've got to make an exception to achieve a dream. And if Kevin Garnett is praising Glenn Taylor right now, you know what that means. Anything is possible. And you know how KG went about this. Probably went to his assistant and said, hey, yo, man, get that snake mud bleeper on the phone for me. And then KG gets on the phone. And Glenn Taylor's like, hello? Oh, Mr. Taylor, old buddy of mine. Would love a chance to buy the Wolves from your buddy. Hey, Kevin, you called me a snake. Who, me? Yeah, you called me a snake mud bleeper. Me? You called me a snake. What? Snake? No. I said saint. Mr. Taylor, you're a saint. You got saint-like qualities. Yeah, I don't think so, Kevin. I've got the athletic right here in front of me. You said snake. Snake? Oh, snake. Yeah, that was a compliment. You know, like snakes. Snakes eat rats. And everybody hates rats. Anyway, let's just do this sale, Broham, because you and I both love Minneapolis. Man, I'd give anything for a snake. You know why I'd give anything for a snake right now? I'd give anything for a snake. Openly snake. Snake mud bleeper. You know why? They'd eat the freaking roaches that are falling out of the ceiling into my office. True Eat story. It, Hawk's got this thing. Whenever I say to Hawk, hey, Adam, I got to borrow you for a minute. Like, he knows. I said it's 50-50. He goes, oh, no, it's 75-25. Because I generally do not say that to him. Because why would I need Hawk? For content? No. For a take on sports? Definitely not that. No, if I say, hey, Adam, can I borrow you for a minute? He knows what's coming. And what's coming is a cockroach the size of a rat lying on its back in my office. And then I look at him like, not like I want him to do something about it, because I don't. I know Alvin will take care of it. But I just, you know, like, hey, Adam, what's that roach doing in my office? Hey, I don't know, boss. It looks like he's sleeping. Hey-o! See, that's the other thing. Like, we think they're dead, but they're not. They really are. They're so big that they're actually sleeping and not dead. So to recap, I wish we did have a snake, because then that snake can eat the roaches. Real thing, man. Real thing. 1-800-636-8686. I've got so many other good topics today. That's just a great start. Let's check out some of the reaction. Drew in West LA. I am interested in purchasing the low T-Wolves. Thanks, Bob Dole. Damn, it's good to hear from Bob Dole. DRod2203 tweets, how pimp would it be for KG to retire his own number being the owner? How play is that? That is player. That'd be very cool. The only thing cooler than KG retiring his own number as the owner is him not letting the current owner retire his number. Hey, KG, Glenn Taylor. Yo, what's up, you snake mud bleeper? Hey, listen, anyway, we want to retire your number. Is that cool? No. Hey, listen, we just want to retire your number. Well, let me ask you something, G. Are you still the owner? Of course I am. Well, then no. The answer is no. As long as he was the owner, he would not let him retire his number. But now that the team might be for sale and KG wants to be a part of the sale, now they're like boys. It's awesome, actually. PJ in the Mile High tweets, KG needs to do more with snakes. Signed, Snake Guy. 12 Woods somehow snaked his way back into the conversation. I haven't seen it change that fast. Like KG, since Hawk sat up in his chair when you walked in from your vacation. Yeah, Table Slam Family tweets, get these mother bleeping snakes off KG's mother bleeping business. Thanks, Sam Jackson.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these mother snakes on this mother plane!
Well done. Additionally, I laid out the interviews for you. I mean, I could just sit back and revel in the glory of that opening take, but I've got other good things. You see that little beef between Trevor Lawrence and an anchor in Baton Rouge who took a run at him? It's good stuff. I'll lay that out for you. Bubble life. NBA bubble life is amazing. Have you seen that account on Twitter? They've got the inside of what it's like to be in the bubble. And the players and the videos and the beer chugging. It's really, really good. I'll get into that. I've been trying to talk all week long about the Kansas City Chiefs and whether or not they're set up not only to repeat, but for a dynasty, a dynastic run. If you ask Chris Stone Cold Jones, they are locked in. For not one, not two, not three, not four, but five rings and a movie. Don't look now, but our so-called national pastime is about to make its triumphant return. Two things regarding that. One, the fact that Major League Baseball still does not have a rule in place for sign stealing. It's not a hell of a lot of fun, but it is topical. The second thing I want to get to regarding Major League Baseball, and man, I miss this guy. This guy used to come on the show back in the day. If memory serves, he actually came to a tour stop back in the day and was amazing. One of the greatest players and one of the greatest personalities in the history of the sport. Haven't run him down for a long time. But a rather amazing story involving George Brett. Keep in mind, George Brett had a historic battle with hemorrhoids back in the day. We have an update. Little juvenile, but it's George Brett, man. It's George bleeping Brett. And nobody can tell a story like George Brett. Except for maybe Mark Grace back in the day. And this is kind of in that same category. In addition to that, Romy. Seven.
Now it's still.
Regards Charlie Weiss on National Hot Dog Day, screaming at the cashier when they ask, how many chili cheese dogs would you like? Geoff and Lincoln. It's pretty stupid, Geoff, but not surprising. Matt in Vancouver. Roaches? How did Rich Flores get into your office for a nap? Weird. It's Matt in Vancouver. Let me tell you something about that roach. That roach that I walked up on was nearly as big as Flores. We got roaches here the size of dogs. At least they don't carry any bacteria. Roaches the size of dogs. All right. How about that open? Ran a little fat, but I was feeling it. Good to be back. 1-800-636-8686. Of course, James Kelly thought that was funny. 777. You know why you thought that was funny, Kelly? Because you are them. You are the manager, Kelly. You are them. Stay with it. Terry Stotts, Scott Hatson, and Matt Kenseth coming.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Laying out. Having a little bit of fun. Hey, let me give you one more telephone number. Since I've got a new podcast episode dropping later on today, the voicemail number is this. If you want to be a part of the podcast, you can leave me a voicemail. If it's a good voicemail, we will definitely use it. If it's a bad voicemail, we may definitely use it. Here's your number. Write this down. 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. Leave a message. It's actually a way for you to get some reps if you're not feeling good about coming on the air here. And frankly, most of you shouldn't feel good about coming on the air here. It goes badly. But if you want to kind of bring yourself up, I've seen people over time get better at it. I've seen people over time get worse at it. But sometimes with repetition, you can get better. So consider that your boot camp. 949-385-0447. Let us go to the phones. Crescent City. Trapper. Trapper brother, what's up?
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Good, good. But how about you?
I'm doing great. Got a couple quick notes. Major props to the Nats for having Dr. Fauci throw out the first pitch. Can't do much better than having the most respected man in America bestowed with that honor. I got to say, if he does half as good as you did, Jim, throwing out that first pitch at the Murph a few years ago, you're going to be okay, Doc. That said, Fred, we're not going to forget how you whitewashed, swept the lying, cheating Astros under the rug. On a positive note, I think it's been 1 year to the day, Jim, since we lost our beloved pal and brother, Randall. Much love to Randall's family and friends. As long as the jungle lives, Randall, you will never, ever be forgotten. In that vein, I just got to say this, Jim. I got a call yesterday from one of the original clones, Coach Tom in Vegas, who shared his story about being a cancer survivor. Right after that, I get a call from Richie Flores with his new business on vector control. No, that's not true. He's planning on coming up here to Battery Point to spend some time with me. Then there's Ira, who calls every week to see how I'm doing. Lady Clone Bella from Calgary. Rick in Buffalo, who offered to pay for my flight to the OC for the smack off. And then there's always Jimmy Benton, the original webmaster who stays in touch, never fails to pick me up. I could go on, Jim, but the point I'm making is this. This isn't just the best damn sports talk show in America. It's a family, and it has been since day one going on 3 decades ago. So you can bring on COVID, you can bring on cancer, you can bring on whatever pestilence you want, but nothing beats love and nothing beats the love in Jim Rome's jungle. That's for you, our brother up there across the bar and around the bend. I'll leave you with this, Jim. War, Randall. Tramps like us, babe. Thanks for the dime, Jimmy. I'm out.
Tramps like us. And the almighty 30 pieces of silver. Trapper, my brother. What a great call and a great message, and I so appreciate that, and it's so true. You can say what you want about this program, say what you want about the listening audience, say what you want about the JTP. I mean, say what you want about any of that, but we are that. We are a family. Families are weird now. Some get along, some don't. There are a couple of idiots in the family. Mostly good people in this family. A few black sheep. Trapper is one of the ultimate warriors and good people in the family. And he has always had the jungle's back. He's always had my back. He's always gone to battle for the jungle, the culture, the family aspect, and did so again right there. And yes, it's been a year since Randall's passing. If you don't know Randall, Alvin, if you can dig some Randall sound up, maybe for the next segment, think about that for a minute. Randall was a legend among clones. Randall had this way about him. Randall had this presence. Randall had this energy. Randall gave off a positive energy. You know, and oftentimes you get back what you put out there, and he always put out positive vibes. And man, he loved the show. He loved the people who took part in the show. He would come to the track whenever we had a race. Randall would come to the track whenever we had a race. He'd find the Rome family in the paddock. He'd eye Logan, and he'd be screaming at my younger son, Logan. Logan! Rat family, Logan! Tell your old man to bring back the rats! I could go on and on. Yeah! Randall was missed. Randall was beloved. And it has been a year since he passed. And our thoughts are with his family. And we are thinking about Randall. Well said. Well said, Trapper. Thank you very much. All right. When we return, anything you want to talk about is fine. We are open until 20 past next hour. Terry Stotts at that time. So it's a good time to call right now. That number, 1-800-636-8686. George Brett getting a little loose with it. Getting a little loose with his stools, actually. Anyway, you've been warned. That's coming up. But first, here is a sports update. Here.
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As a reminder, Wednesday is Nas the Pros Day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so it is Wednesday. But I'm going throwback Thursday by giving you a follow Friday in the middle of the week. Does that make sense? The follow is at NBA Bubble Life, at NBA Bubble Life. Do yourself a favor, follow that account. Like the bio says, they're, quote, bringing the bubble to your timeline. And you can't say this about everything you see on Twitter, but their content is fantastic. The content is fantastic. A little background here, and let me first give credit where credit is due. The account is run by Nick DiPaola, Wells Phillips, Drew Ruiz, and Trevon Edwards. They started It as a Passion Project, where they would share content from players who were inside the bubble, you know, kind of give you a glimpse of what life is like in Orlando. You get videos of the NBA bubble barbershop, guys holding up fish after they've been on the water, Darius Baisley's attempt at making oatmeal. Hell, bubble life also includes Hassan Whiteside singing Rick Springfield a cappella.
I wish I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? Jesse's girl.
Jesse's girl. I mean, holy crap. Rick Springfield, man. There's something about that dude, right? Like, then, didn't you want to hear the rest of that song when Alvin started that? Or at least a few more seconds of that riff? Timeless, man. How old is this dude now? Like 65 or 95? He's got a bunch of 95-year-old women still swooning. Anyway, I haven't heard an NBA big man belt out a tune like that since my man Dirk got nice.
Fall down in the dead man's town.
Help the man out, Alvin.
This was born in the USA by the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
I mean, like Dirk. Dirk can pull anything off, including that, but maybe slip that guy a lyric sheet. But that's content, right? It's content like Hassan singing that song that took at NBA Bubble Life from an idea to reality in less than 1 hour and to over 115,000 followers in less than 2 weeks. I mean, that's almost unheard of. That's incredible. And in part, that's how we ended up with J.J. Redick in an ice bath in an inflatable pool chugging a beer. Also great content.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one.
Now, that video came because at NBA Bubble Life asked Redick how many retweets it would take to get a video of him shotgunning a Bud Light. J.J. said 10,000. Which seemed like a pretty outrageous number at the time. Especially if you watch Twitter now and you look at the algorithms and the analytics. People don't retweet. They hit like and they keep moving. So 10,000 retweets is a big number. Except it happened in mere hours. So then we get that. The best thing about that was that, not in and of itself, but that video inspired Myers Leonard to jump in. The big man with a 12-ounce Coors Light and a video for NBA Bubble Life.
NBA Bubble Life, and just so I have proof that this is an incredibly full beer, you can see that there. It's a 12-ounce Coors Light. Cheers, everybody.
This guy, first of all, Myers Leonard, one of my favorites, but when you listen to him speak, does he not sound like he's 12 feet tall? I mean, he almost is. The only other guy that I know who's got a voice like that is the guy who is 12 feet tall, and that's Gruce. Hey, Gruce, my man.
Jim Rome Show.
I saw you popping in on my Instagram feed. Good to see you, Gruce.
Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome Show.
My name's Andrew Gruce.
Jim Rome Show.
I'm 9'11".
Jim Rome Show.
Guys like that sound like that because they're that tall. So Myers Leonard is awesome. I love talking to him earlier this year. And that video is absurd. I mean, it is a reminder that he is 7 feet tall because in his meat hooks, that 12-ounce can looked like a shot glass. It looked like a thimble. And then he destroyed it in seconds and then proclaimed himself king of the bubble, accepting all challengers. And of course, somebody had to step to him. That led to Jordan Clarkson and what appeared to be Royce O'Neal doing a response video. And really, it was just Clarkson because my guy in the background happened to bring a BB gun to a shotgun fight.
Y'all shotgunning baby beers.
Check us out.
Yeah, hey, you.
Stop playing with me.
There's no way Jordan Clarkson was going to call out Myers Leonard the way he did. There was no way that he was going to call him out from or for drinking from a, quote, baby can and not have Myers respond. The hammer was going to come out swinging. And sure enough, he was right back with another video of his own.
One.
Oh, he got a good start.
Oh,
still got him.
It still didn't matter. That's the big hammer. You hear me?
Still got him.
Empty too. Can nobody hang with me?
The big hammer. Quote, somebody asked over the weekend, quote, he said that somebody asked, what is your hidden talent?
You know, when someone asks you like, oh, what's your hidden talent? I got to say, mine might be chugging beer. I mean, people just can't touch me, brother. It's not close. It just isn't. Shotguns, chugs, it doesn't matter. Get them out of here. It's too easy.
Man, my man does make it look too easy. The hammer is crushing everybody and everything in sight. My man could make a keg look like a 16-ounce can. That's how good he is. But here is the thing about life inside the bubble. It's not all fishing and haircuts and beer-chugging contests. Guys are also missing life outside the bubble. As an example on the account, you'll see CJ McCollum posting about how much he misses his dog. Leonard talked about the fact that he misses his wife. Quote, it's a weird feeling. He'll be apart from her on their first or on their anniversary for the first time. Quote, it's like a piece he was missing. Jungle legend Alex Caruso said that he's going to miss his sister's wedding. Patrick Beverly had to leave the bubble to tend to a family emergency. He's the second Clipper to have to do so. Guys are having to make decisions all the time about balancing life inside and outside the bubble. So while it might seem awesome to be staying at a resort for months and fishing and golfing all you want, and the content coming out of there is awesome, just know the guys that are there are giving up a lot to be there. And in some cases, being there means you have to hear Hassan Whiteside belt out 80s classics.
I wish I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? Jesse's girl.
Love the way that trails off at the end. Girl. Alvin made him sound so much better. Alvin always makes bad parodies or bad singers or wannabe sound better. Give it to me one more time, Alvin. Do you?
I wish I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? Jesse's girl.
Nice job. That's an amazing account. An amazing account of life inside the bubble. 1-800-636-8686. Coming towards the end of hour number one. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Speak of the devil, Rich Flores. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call today, sir. How you doing?
Good, good, bud. How about you?
I'm all right. I'm listening to Jesse's Girl, and immediately I'm transformed into a bubble of my own. It's Fountain Bowl. I've got OP corduroy shorts on. I got knee-high tube socks on. I got my Alva deck. I'm playing Galaxian Defender. Man, the 80s, that's where it was at, Jim.
I remember.
Not to age myself, but good times. Hey, yeah, today marks 1 year of Randall, and, you know, that was a guy who knew how to balance really good guy and partial idiot, and that's what made him so great. Absolutely love that guy. I got a greeting here from his wife, Crystal. She couldn't make it in today. They're all out graveside today in a memorial for the guy with close family and friends. And anyway, she asked me that I just read a quick note and just to give a shout out to the jungle and let her know that she was thinking about everybody. So this says, to Jim and the clones, it is unfathomable that today marks the 1 year anniversary of Randall's passing. Feels like only yesterday he was right here loving his life, smiling that big smile and making the Jim Rome Show and Clone Nation part of his daily life. The show and the relationships Randall forged within the show meant everything to him. My family and I wish and would like to express our deepest gratitude to Jim, the show, and especially all his clone supporters and friends for their incredible support this last year and always. Your kindness, generosity, and care has sincerely touched our hearts, and I know Randall is looking down on all of us smiling and giving a great big yeah! Jim, thank you for everything. Love and always, Crystal and Bella. And let me just mirror quickly what you and Trapper were saying earlier. You know, great big community of friends. And, you know, because of you, Jim, my best friends, you introduced me to. And as much as I hate delivering these heartfelt messages simultaneously, I get the joy of having all these people in my life. So from a personal note, Jim, thanks for introducing me to all my best friends. I sincerely appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day. And we're Randall. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Rich, very much for that. Truly. Make sure you rack that call. Save that call, Alvy. And I so appreciate Crystal's thoughts. I mean, what a difficult day for Crystal and her family and really Jungle Clone Nation. So I... Now, on a day this difficult, I really appreciate her taking the time to touch base with us and let her know that we're thinking of her, or she's thinking of us, and I want Crystal to know we're thinking of you. Our thoughts are with you. My man Randall. You know, even when I say his name, it just brings a smile to my face. He's Randall. And Randall had this exuberance and this unbelievable energy. And Randall had some classic moments, both on and off the air. But man, Randall was always there. He was so great. I've told the story before, but I was once at the O'Reilly Managers Convention, one of the biggest days in the history of jungle racing, the day that Shared Belief ran against California Chrome. And that was a huge, huge, huge day. In fact, that was an enormous day for the sport, really quickly, because California Chrome was the horse of the year. Shared Belief was the top-ranked thoroughbred in the world. I mean, these were a couple of goats or a couple of the greats. And I couldn't make it to the race itself because I had the O'Reilly Managers Convention. And if you were there that day, you remember California Chrome was the fan favorite. There were so many more people in California Chrome's colors, purple. And then Shared Belief had a following, just not that big. Not as big. A big following, but not as big. And man, there was Randall right in the middle of the whole thing, fighting the good fight for Clone Nation. Fighting the good fight for Shared Belief.
Yeah.
And saying, Logan! Rat Family Logs! They're funny. I can't remember if it was Jake or Logan. I said, how'd that go? That was great. And they said, man, Randall. Randall was in all his glory. So we're thinking about you, Randall. Randall, I know you're looking down on the jungle. And Crystal, most of all, we're thinking about you and your family. And thank you very much for touching base and sharing thoughts. And just know the jungle family will always be there for you. And, you know, as nutty as this place gets, as nutty as this family gets, I could not be more proud of the way the family rallies around each other. Find me one other show where a caller could make that big of a difference, and a year later, people are coming on social and coming on the phones and talking about him. And say what you want about Rich, because you have and you will. But for Rich Flores to say, hey, Jim, thank you very much. You introduced me to my best friends in the world. I take a lot of pride in that. This is not an ordinary talk show. So, Randall, we're thinking about you. When we come back, we start hour number two. Phone lines are still open. Terry Stotts is coming up at 20 past. Scott Hansen, top of hour three. Matt Kenseth in hour number three. Additionally, I do want to talk about George Brett. Anytime I can talk about George Brett, I will. Amazing player. Enormous personality. Gave us some of the greatest moments in the history of the game. And he gave us another moment. I wouldn't call it one of the greatest moments in the history of the game, but it's a moment. If I'm going to play 2 minutes of audio, you know he gave us something. That's coming up. My thoughts on the Chiefs and more, and a podcast later today with Damon West. Stay tuned.